This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Samantha Morrill.
We're afraid that if we don't have something done pretty soon, that it may end up falling. The abutments need some work.
Is the Grain City covered bridge in danger of collapsing? Brenda Plummer of the Fleming County Museum Society worries that it may be.
A mobile home fire has claimed the life of a Morgan County man.
And the Ashland Community and Technical College is to receive a couple of job training grants from Kentucky Power.
In sports, Round County and West Carter battle this evening for the 16th Region Boys Baseball Championship.
But Luke has the stocks.
Partly cloudy tonight with a low of 57 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
The Morgan County coroner has been called to the scene of a mobile home fire. The fire started at the home located along Highway 519, about 5 miles from the Morgan-Rowan County line. Chief Drexel Patrick with the 519 Fire Department spoke with WKYT. He says that when he first saw the home, flames were already coming out the windows.
So I got to the firehouse and got the truck, got back, and another firefighter got here about the time we knocked down the fire from the house, kept it from burning the house, and that was about all. We didn't know anyone was inside at that time, but got the fire knocked down, and we did find about it.
The victim has not yet been identified.
The two people killed in the collision of a motorcycle and pickup truck in Boyd County Tuesday afternoon have been identified. Coroner Mark Hammond says the victims were 42-year-old James Adams and 41-year-old Priscilla Hogston, both from Louisa. Hammond tells WSAZ neither was wearing a helmet.
And that's the big thing we want to make and get out, you know, that helmets do save lives. A lot of people don't like to wear helmets when they're riding, but they do save lives, and that's the most important thing.
The crash occurred on U.S. 23 near Marathon Oil's refinery in Catlettsburg.
A Bath County middle school teacher charged with sexual abuse has pleaded not guilty to the charge. WKYT reports Starvin Crouch appeared in Bath County District Court yesterday. He was arrested Saturday after the grandmother of a 15-year-old female student called police. She reportedly videotaped a conversation between Crouch and the teen in which he is seen holding the girl's hand, rubbing her arm and confessing his love for her. Police say Crouch has admitted to having a sexual relationship with a student, but he denies that it included intercourse. Crouch is suspended from his teaching position and is not allowed near school property. The case goes before the grand jury on Thursday.
Kellogg's says it will close its Sharonville, Ohio distribution center. That'll mean the permanent layoffs of nearly 250 employees. In a letter sent to the state, the company says the Sharonville center will close this summer. The final day for distribution workers will be between July 29th and August 11th. For off-site sales employees, the final day will be between August 4th and August 17th. The Michigan-based company has said it would close 39 distribution facilities across the country, affecting more than 1,000 workers. Kellogg's says it is changing how it ships products. In addition to cereal, the company also makes Eggo frozen waffles, Pop-Tarts, and Pringles.
The Ashland Community and Technical College is receiving a $25,000 grant from Kentucky Power. The money will be used to purchase equipment for ACTC's fiber optics training program. It's among 12 Eastern Kentucky projects to receive a share of more than $400,000 being awarded across the region. ACTC is also getting $16,500 to enhance job training efforts. In addition, the Ashland Alliance is receiving $17,500 for a project to seek build-ready certification at the East Park Industrial Site. An $18,000 grant to the Lawrence County Fiscal Court will enable the acquisition of equipment for a new teleworks hub in the county.
Fleming County Museum Society spokeswoman Lori Ulrich is expecting a fundraising effort soon to preserve the Grange City covered bridge. She told Spectrum News she fears the wooden structure could collapse after taking a beating from the elements.
One of the features of Grange City are the watermarks. In 1937, there was a flood. It was about 5.5 feet above the bridge. So there was someone had the forethought to carve the watermark. And then in the late 90s, we had another flood, and you can see the watermark there. And then I think about 2011, there was another one, and you can see the watermark there.
Ulrich says the 86-foot span was built around 1867 and was closed to traffic in 1969.
An Ashland city commissioner wants the city's website to include a page where people can request repair of sidewalks. Matt Perkins says there's already a page for street improvements.
Sidewalks are a big part of what cities need to take care of, as well as streets, and I think it's an important step for us moving into the internet to get that request available. So, because people call all the time and say, you know, I can't get anybody on the phone, well, you can always register it online. And I think that'll be a much more customer-friendly alternative than trying to call that request in.
Perkins says the page could include information on the city's cost-sharing program for sidewalk repairs. That's where the city picks up 75% of the cost, while homeowners contribute the balance.
The Ohio Attorney General is suing 5 drug makers for their alleged role perpetrating the state's addictions epidemic. Republican Mike DeWine accuses the companies of intentionally misleading patients about the dangers of painkillers and promoting benefits of the drugs not backed by science. DeWine announced the complaint today as he accused the firms of creating a deadly mess in Ohio that they now need to pay to clean up. A record 3,050 Ohioans died from drug overdoses in 2015, a figure expected to jump sharply once 2016 figures are tallied.
Kentucky Attorney General Andy Beshear says it looks like a clear-cut case of right and wrong. The Democrat is talking about Republican Governor Matt Bevin's purchase of a home in a Louisville suburb for half its market value, and then the appointment of the house's former owner to a state job that pays more than $200,000 a year. Beshear says the governor was apparently living in the home before the sale took place.
We have got to get to the bottom of this, because from the outside, it at least looks like a case of personal enrichment by a governor. Someone's got to investigate it, and the facts have to be shown to the public in a very transparent way.
Beshear made his comments at a press conference in Frankfort Tuesday.
Plans are being made in Kentucky Senate for a special session to handle tax and pension reform. That's according to the majority floor leader. Republican Damon Thayer of Georgetown says it'll happen later in the year.
I've been saying since January that we're not going to be ready to have a special session until September, and I still stand by that. I think September, October is probably best case scenario. We have had some meetings. We're just talking in broad strokes about what a special session might look like in terms of tax reform and pension reform.
Thayer says he's optimistic that the Senate and House, along with the governor's office, can work together to develop a workable plan. A special session lasts for a minimum of 5 days at a cost of $70,000 taxpayer dollars per day.
Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell says the chamber will vote on legislation to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, sometimes called Obamacare. But it's too soon to tell just what'll be in the bill. However, the Republican says he and his colleagues are working hard on their alternative.
We're in the process right now of deciding what we think ought to be done with Medicaid. We had the head of CMS up here talking about this.
McConnell was referring to the chief administrator for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. He says the GOP caucus is meeting 3 times a week on the health care issue.
New chandeliers are being installed in Huntington's City Hall as part of a renovation project at the more than 100-year-old building. The city says the 11 new chandeliers are exact replicas of the building's original lighting fixtures from 1915. The chandelier installation in the main hallway is the 3rd phase of a privately funded renovation project spearheaded by physician Joseph Tuma. The city says about $85,000 has been raised from donors. The first phase of the work began in 2014 with the installation of new windows. That was followed by the restoration of the original terrazzo marble floor.
Kentucky State Police will offer vehicles and other surplus items for sale at an auction next month. State Police say in a news release that the auction will be held June 9th at its supply branch in Frankfort. all types of cars, trucks, and SUVs will be up for bid, along with numerous kitchen items. Bidders can view the vehicles on the day of the auction or by visiting the supply branch during regular business hours on June 8th. Bidders must register at no cost.
The Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife Resources says anglers can fish for free this weekend. The state's annual free fishing weekend is being held Saturday and Sunday and allows people to fish Kentucky waters without a license or permit. The agency says in a statement that limits still apply on the size and number of fish that anglers may keep. Parks across the state are planning fishing derbies on Saturday that are mainly geared toward children under the age of 16. The agency says many community lakes were stocked with catfish in May. And turning to take a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, including the cities of Campton, Frenchburg, and Louisa. For tonight, partly cloudy, lows around 54 degrees. Tomorrow, sunny and clear, highs near 78. For Thursday night, partly cloudy skies, lows around 54 degrees. On Friday, mostly sunny, highs around 83 degrees. There is a 20% chance of rain throughout the day on Friday. Then Friday night, mostly clear, lows near 63 degrees, a 20% chance of rain overnight. And your weekend is going to be rainy, partly clear early in the day, becoming mostly cloudy with a 60% chance of thunderstorms, highs around 84 degrees on Saturday. Taking a look at the area temperatures, it is currently 80 degrees in Ashland, 78 degrees in Flemingsburg, 78 in Inez, 79 degrees in Winchester, it's 80 degrees in Lexington, and right here in Moorhead, it is currently 79 degrees.
4:42, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It is great to have your company on this Wednesday afternoon. On our feature segment, we have Neighbors, Adrian Swain's conversations with our culturally diverse Appalachian community. This afternoon, Adrian talks with Frederick Hallilan, who came to the U.S. to complete his training as a medical doctor. He was born in a small town in the southern part of the Philippines in 1947.
It's called Labo, which is a section of Ozamiz City. I am the fifth of 10 children. My father owned a coconut plantation, so we were not that hard up. I went to the elementary school in that segment of Ozamiz and went to a Catholic high school and went to a Catholic university in Cebu City, which is the second largest city in the Philippines. That's actually where Magellan landed to supposedly discover us. So I did my pre-medical education there at the University of San Carlos and proceeded to go to medical school in that same city at Cebu Institute of Medicine, where I graduated in 1972. And I stayed in the Philippines for about 3 years doing a residency training before I came to the United States in 1975.
You met your wife, Virginia,
in Cebu City when I was in med school and she was in nursing school in the same school. We actually came from the same city, but of course, you know, she's a few years younger than me. So we never crossed paths. So we got married in the Philippines 6 months before we left for the States. I think I got my contract from the hospital in Brooklyn in October. So we decided, okay, now we can get married now because I think we can afford to do it.
Right.
And I landed in Brooklyn, New York, where I did my pediatric residency. And we stayed in New York City for about 5 years. And after I completed my training in 1980, and after passing my board exam, I found a job in Hazard, Kentucky. Actually, it was not very strange because the terrain is similar to where I grew up. People there were really nice and very accepting. You know, there were not too many foreign people in there at that time. I stayed in Hazard for about 10 years. I practiced pediatrics there for a few years, and after a while, I realized that that wasn't a very good fit for me because I had to work day and night, being on call a lot during the night. So I went back to train in emergency medicine at the University of Kentucky, which I completed in 87, and I went back to Hazard and staffed their emergency department until 1990. But again, the work there was a lot more difficult because I was the only full-time emergency department physician. And sometimes I have to do both the day and the night shift. That was not very ideal for my health. And luckily, Dr. Young, who was the medical director in the emergency department, recruited me to come to St. Clair and got me out of my misery. That was probably one of the really good decisions that I have made coming to Morehead, because I found out that the hospital administration and the medical staff were one of the best that I have been associated with. That is a really good ingredient for a long professional life. So I did that for about 21 years. I still refuse to quit. I'm staffing the walk-in clinic 2 days a week, part of the family medicine clinic. This is our community, lots of friends. My wife and I are quite happy here, and we have two daughters who are now really grown up. You know, they have their own kids. They grew up here, and they were really happy here. They were part of the speech team, which they really enjoyed. Unfortunately, they live in California, so we try to go visit them as often as we can. My wife and I decided we'll just stay here because, you know, we're happy here anyway, and we can always go there and stay a couple of weeks. Our goal is to travel the world until our knees don't want to
cooperate anymore. Thank you very much for coming in and talking to me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
That is Morehead physician Frederick Hallilan on our regular Wednesday series, Neighbors, Adrian Swain's conversations with our culturally diverse Appalachian community. It is 4:47. You are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. The latest national and international news is coming your way on All Things Considered at 5 o'clock this afternoon right here on Morehead State Public Radio. And Sean has a check of sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from The Bakery on Main, next to Pasquale's on East Main Street in Morehead. The Bakery on Main prepares made-from-scratch breads, cakes, pies, tarts, and cookies. Glazed, cream and fruit-filled donuts made fresh Monday, Friday, and Saturday, catering for weddings, birthdays, bridal, and baby showers. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Orders by phone at 606-783-0101 and online at thebakeryonmain.com.
On to the champions. Good afternoon. This is MSBR Sports. I'm Sean Delaney. A new 16th region baseball champion will be crowned tonight when Rowan County takes on West Carter at Boyd County. While tonight will be Rowan County's first appearance in the championship game since 1989, it will be West Carter's first ever appearance. Rowan head coach Keith Brader calls the game special.
Then our kids are kind of gelling right now, and it's a good time to do that. And kids are playing with a little bit of confidence and, you know, just a tad of arrogance, which is a good thing at this time of year. So very, very confident right now.
Rowan County is 24-19 on the year, while West Carter is 22-14. The two teams did not play each other during the regular season. Tonight is the 16th regional softball championship game. East Carter will be looking to win its second straight regional championship when they battle Ashland at 7 in Olive Hill. East Carter is 32-3 on the year, while Ashland is just 15-21. But Lady Raiders head coach Derek Calhoun says his team is in for a battle.
Got good outstanding pitchers, hit the ball well, play pretty good defense. So we're going to have to, as like we told the girls, they have to be ready to go, because it's going to be a dogfight.
East Carter won the 16th Region Softball Championship last season, while Ashland was the champions for 7 consecutive years before that, winning the region from 2009 to 2015. East Carter won the only matchup between the two clubs this year, 9-1. The Cincinnati Reds wrapped up their final game of the series with Toronto earlier this afternoon. The Reds left two runners stranded in scoring position, falling short of a ninth-inning rally in a 5-4 loss against the Blue Jays. Joey Votto and Scott Schaller both scored home runs. Jose Peraza led the Reds with 2 hits and 1 RBI. Reds reliever Wandy Peralta was handed the loss for the day, giving up 2 runs in 1 inning pitched. The Reds have the day off tomorrow. They'll look to get things back on track when the Braves come into town for a three-game series on Friday. Major League Baseball has reduced Nationals All-Star Bryce Harper's suspension to 3 games. Fox Sports reports that Harper was originally given a 4-game ban for his involvement in a bench-clearing brawl against the Giants earlier this week. Hunter Strickland, who initiated the melee after hitting Harper with a pitch, has appealed his 6-game ban. The city of Pittsburgh has dropped all charges against a self-described dumb redneck with a bad idea. 36-year-old Jacob Waddell originally received the charges after throwing a dead catfish onto the rink during the first game of the Stanley Cup Finals. Pittsburgh police say they will be on the lookout for more errant seafood at 8 tonight during Game 2. The Penguins currently lead the Nashville Predators 1-0. 5 American players have won through to the third round of the French Open, correspondent Matt Brown reports.
Steve Johnson flies the American flag in the men's draw, completing an emotional win over Croatian Borna Coric to reach the third round, coming just a couple of weeks after the passing of his father. Venus Williams, Shelby Rogers, Bethany Maddox-Sands and Cece Ballas have all advanced in the women's draw, along with defending champion Garbiñe Muguruza. And men's defending champion Novak Djokovic and tournament favourite Rafael Nadal have both posted straight sets wins. Matt Brown, Paris.
Some 16th region basketball news. Elliott County guard Corbin Spencer is transferring. The 6'1 guard announced on Twitter yesterday that he will be attending Hargraves Military Academy in Virginia for his junior season. Spencer helped lead Elliott County to 3 straight 16th region championships, including last season, when he averaged 22 points and 6 rebounds per game. And finally, in sports, Churchill Downs pulls its mobile betting operation out of Silicon Valley. Will Clark has more.
The company moving their Twin Spires mobile betting operation from Silicon Valley to the Hurstbourne Parkway headquarters of Churchill Downs Incorporated, bringing 70 high-tech jobs to town. Churchill Downs Incorporated CEO Bill Karstangen.
These are technical jobs, so these folks have computer science degrees or other similar technology-based capabilities.
He says 10 years ago, putting Twin Spires in Kentucky wasn't an option because the proper workforce wasn't in place. I'm Will Clark.
That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Sean Delaney.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. The annual celebration of MSU Athletics golf outing will be this Saturday at Eagle Trace Golf Course. 18 holes of golf, door prizes, continental breakfast, lunch, and refreshments. More information from the MSU Office of Alumni Relations and Development at 877-690-4483.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities fell on the last trading day of May as a drop in the financial sector pressured the overall market, and the Dow Industrials finished with a loss of 20.82 at 21,008.65. The S&P 500 was down 1.11 at 2411.80, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 4.67 at 6198.52. New York Stock Exchange breath was flat as decliners and advancers roughly evened out. And as mentioned, the financial sector under pressure today as two major stocks, Bank of America and J.P. Morgan, guided down on revenue expectations for the current quarter. Bank of America stock was down 1.8% and J.P. Morgan was down 2%. And according to analysts, there are concerns the Federal Reserve may not be able to raise interest rates twice more this year as it had previously forecast. And this has also hurt bank stocks, which, generally speaking, are helped out by higher interest rates in terms of that adding more profit to their bottom line. Treasury yields have fallen sharply, actually, since the beginning of the year, as today the benchmark 10-year yield was near 2.19%, and it began the year at 2.5%. As a result, utility stocks have been very strong throughout the year, having risen roughly 10.1% since January 1st, and those gains pale in comparison to the tech sector, which is your best performer this year, with technology up almost 20%. The Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ are all on track to post monthly gains. The tech-heavy NASDAQ gained 2.5% for the month of May and notched a 7-month winning streak, its longest since 2013. In the commodities markets, oil was down 2.7%, finishing at $48.31 a barrel, and gold was up 0.4% at $1,271.20 an ounce. In Europe, markets were down, with the Stock 600 down about 0.8%. Asia was mixed, with the Nikkei down 0.8% and the Shanghai Index up 0.25%. Among Dow stocks, the best performers were Pfizer and DuPont, the worst performers Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Perrigo, up 7.3% on the day's trading, as a matter of fact. And Vertex Pharmaceuticals was also among your best performers in the S&P 500. Your worst performers were Michael Kors and CF Industries. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 7 cents at 66.56, CSX down 5 cents at 54.17, AEP up 54 cents at 71.75, AK Steel down 11 cents at 6.09, Marathon Petroleum down 39 cents at 52.03, and U.S. Bancorp is down 23 cents to finish at 50.87. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyon.
Taking a final look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight, partly cloudy, lows around 54 degrees. Tomorrow, sunny and clear, highs near 78 degrees. For Thursday night, partly cloudy, lows near 54 degrees. Friday, mostly sunny, highs around 83 degrees, and there's a 20% chance of rain throughout the day on Friday. For Friday night, mostly clear, lows near 63 degrees, a 20% chance of rain overnight on Friday, and then rain coming in for the weekend. On Saturday, partly clear early in the day, becoming mostly cloudy with a 60% chance of thunderstorms, highs around 84 degrees. For Saturday night, storms and lows around 67 degrees, there is a 60% chance of thunderstorms through the night. For Sunday, more rain, mostly cloudy, highs around 81 degrees, and an 80% chance of rain. Sunday night, you can expect rain and thunderstorms through the night, lows around 64 degrees, and it is currently 79 degrees in Moorhead.
And that'll do it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Ellen Barnett, Braxton Howard, Sean Delaney, and our feature segment this afternoon from Adrian Swain. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202 BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Samantha Morrill and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte. Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.